Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many, many things you've blessed us with throughout all this whole day. Now the awesome opportunity once again to get back into your word. We truly thank you for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word love, if you will turn to Zechariah and the minor prophets they call. In Zechariah chapter 8, we see here some references to love no false oath. In Zechariah chapter 8, picking up in verse 16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth. Shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace. See, emphasizing and reemphasizing there to love truth, not falsehood and not lies and not a false oath. Don't love a lie in your commitment, even could apply to that. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Prophecies and guidance and wisdom given to Zechariah to deliver to the children of Israel. And we see there the emphasis on love the truth and peace. Don't love the lies, but love the truth and peace. All right, now let's go on over into the New Testament and to Matthew in chapter 5. Here in the section they call the blessednesses or the beatitudes. And we see the Lord teaching in Matthew chapter 5. Let's pick it up in verse 43. It reads, Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That was contrary to what a lot of people wanted to do and liked doing, and they wanted to hate their enemies. But the Lord is telling us here, He is gracious and merciful to the godly and the ungodly, and gives us that example that we need to be as well, gracious and merciful even to the ungodly, not just to the godly, to share that love of God that He is pouring upon us. And that's the key thing, to share His love that He gives us, then in turn share it with others. Now go on over to Matthew chapter 6 and pick it up in verse 5, for he continues teaching. And it reads, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Here we have a misdirected love, a love of the honor and glory that they're taking for themselves. Love for their reputation. Shouldn't be that way. As he continues teaching on this subject, verse 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now this can be done literally, to go into a hidden area and pray, but you can go into your closet in the midst of a crowd. Because it just means to go within. You don't have to proclaim it loud so everybody can hear you when you're praying. Yes, there are times when it's good to pray openly and verbally where people around you can hear. But then there's other times you need to pray silently within yourself, a constant communication with the Lord. So constantly be talking to the Lord. And he will reward you. Verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions." Now, this vain repetitions is speaking of just a set of words that you repeat over and over, but your heart really isn't in it. There's nothing wrong with repeating a prayer. The Lord gave us that example when he himself prayed the same thing three times prior to being crucified. So he gave us that example, that it is okay to pray for the same thing over and over and over, but don't use vain, repetitious words that are just thrown out there and you're thinking about something else while you're saying them and it's not really in your heart. There's nothing wrong with having a favorite prayer that you repeat as long as you're repeating it sincerely and it's coming from your heart, not just memorized word that you say over and over. Because that's why he's applying the word vain repetitions. Vain means worthless, is fleeting away. No substance to it. Verse 7 again. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." He knows what we need before we even ask it. So then you wonder, well, why should I even bother asking? Because he already knows what I need. Because in our asking, we show that we have faith that he can give us what we're asking. As it continues, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And he gives us what is known as the Lord's Prayer. It's actually a model prayer that we can model our prayers after. Now, some people have memorized this prayer and use it over and over. And there's no problem with that if it's done sincerely, not just vain repetition of it, but sincerely from your heart. If you pray these words, it is fine. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Because that covers the various subjects that we should be concerned with in our prayers, to honor the Lord to start with, and to give thanks, and to understand that you know you're living day by day, and to ask for forgiveness and ask for the lack or the pulling away of temptations. Because he says, "Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil." Now that evil is the evil potential that is within all of us. So asking for direction, guidance, giving thanks, honor to the Lord, it's always important. And then he's some further teaching here, verse 14 and 15. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." See, this verse applies back to verse 12, where it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." See, we need to be forgiving if we want to have forgiveness. 14 again. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And that's important. Don't be carrying around a grudge or hatred or unforgiveness for someone else. We need to forgive them. Lift it up and give it to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness for yourself in that process, and ask that you be led out of the temptation to carry that grudge and to have that evil thought against someone. Get rid of that. If you expect to get forgiveness, you have to do that. All right, now go on over to chapter 6 and verse 24. There is no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. This mammon is speaking of material gain. What do you truly love? Do you love God, or do you love the worldly possessions that you can acquire? You must focus on loving God, not prosperity on this planet. Verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So we must focus our love on the Lord, on serving the Lord, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, and acknowledging that he's going to look after us, have that faith and trust that he is, because he loves us so much and cares for us, because when we accept him as Lord and Savior, he adopts us into the family and he takes care of his family. On over to Matthew in chapter 19, and pick it up in verse 16. Here are some more lessons about love and proper applying love to the Father rather than to the world and to the possessions. And a lesson that he's teaching a young wealthy fellow here in Matthew chapter 19, picking up verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Note here that the Lord hasn't mentioned to love God with all of his existence yet, because he knew the situation of this young man, as he continues. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, the Lord is displaying in that man that he loves his possessions more than loving God. Just like we just read about the mammon. Mammon being prosperity, being materialism. This young man loved that more than he loved the Lord, or loved serving the Lord. In verse 23, as it continues, teaching here in verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With the Lord all things are possible. Now many have misunderstood this saying that he spoke here about it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. In the gates there at Jerusalem, there was a small hole beside the gate which a man could go through, and even a camel could go through, but not a camel that was loaded down with luggage. You had to remove all that luggage off of the camel for the camel to be able to fit, to squeeze through that hole. This was designed to allow people to come in after the gates were closed, but it was small enough where an invading army or some troops could not come through carrying gear and so forth. It gave them time to respond if they were out there unloading all their stuff and so forth. So that's where this saying of through the eye of the needle is referring to, because we have to unload our possessions. We have to realize that those possessions are not what gets us through that hole into salvation, through that process of unburdening ourselves with the load that we're carrying of our possessions, love for those possessions, because that's the situation you have when someone is that wealthy, like this young man was, that he wasn't willing to give up those things that he had. He wanted to carry them with him and keep them, not to share them with anybody else or give them up. And that showed that he didn't have the right kind of love for the Heavenly Father, which the Lord teaches us about in chapter 22 and verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. See, the young rich man wasn't doing that. He had not lifted up God most important in his life. And then he continues. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The young rich man wasn't doing that one either, because he didn't love his neighbor enough to share the wealth that he had received of himself. So he needed to have these two great commandments, and he was failing in those. But if he had done these two primarily, then all the others would have been enveloped or contained within that and displayed in that. Because if we truly love the Heavenly Father, he's going to guide us and teach us what we need to do and not do. And if we have that kind of love for our neighbor, we're not going to be hurting them or doing anything against them. We're going to be helping them and assisting them. So in that, it covers all, as it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So he really narrowed it down and focused in on the two primary and most important things. If we do those, we are truly sharing the kind of love and showing the kind of love that we are supposed to have for everyone, and especially for God. All right, now go on over to Matthew in chapter 23 and pick it up here in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." See, they were sharing the word of the Lord, because that's what he's talking about, sitting in Moses' seat. And we are to abide by the word of the Lord. Even if it's being delivered to us by somebody who's not abiding by the word of the Lord. That's why he's saying don't live your life in accordance to those that are delivering the word, but in accordance to the word. People have lifted up preachers, pastors, missionaries, ministers, to the point of following their life, using them as the example. But that's wrong. We should never do that. If they are delivering the word of God, abide by the word of God. But don't look at the individual that's delivering you that word and put too much emphasis on that individual, as if they are someone to follow. No, not to do that. We follow the Lord, only the Lord. He is the only shepherd, not any of the pastors or preachers, including myself. Do not follow me, follow Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only. As it continues, the description of these individuals that love to deliver the word, but are not living the word. Reads, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." The phylacteries and borders of the garments were to display that they were righteous, that they are carrying around these prayers, showing people, "Look at me, what I am doing." It's all selfishness. Verse 6, "And they love the uppermost rooms of feast and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Those terms of authority they like to have. We have people that love to be called reverend, to be revered. We're never told in the Word of God to ever revere anyone other than the Heavenly Father. Yes, we are told in the Word of God that women are to revere their husbands. That's a entirely different situation, a different kind of reverence, to respect and honor their husbands. But these folks here wanted the kind of reverence of being lifted up to that position, of being some holy father like the Catholics like to use. All those titles are sacrilege. All those titles are selfish. They want the recognition. Love to be called priests and bishops and pastors and reverend, especially. I hate that term, reverend, to be called reverend. Don't want anybody to reverend me or to revere me. I'm a preacher and a pastor. I'm a fellow worker in the Lord, equal with everybody else in the eyes of the Lord. So don't lift any man up in such a way, because they eat it up. It just pats them on the back and it puffs their head up with pride and arrogance, and it is not good for them and it's not good for you. "And greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." See, the word Rabbi means master. I'm going to be lifted up. Some authority figure. and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. See, this throws in that whole term that the Catholics like to use when they call their religious leaders father. This is speaking specifically of that. I don't know why the Catholics ignore this verse. And to call someone Holy Father is a total sacrilege, like they call the Pope. Reason, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So humble yourself, come to the Lord. Serve the Lord in such a humble way. There is only one true shepherd. There is only one master. There is only one rabbi. There is only one father. So honor that, acknowledge that. Never lift up anybody else in such a position. Only worship and honor the Lord. Period. Simple words. So simple they just pass them up and don't pay any attention to them. Apply your love, your total love, in the proper place. Back over there in verse 37 again. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Never put anyone else or anything else in a position to love more than loving the Father. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Clear words given to us, and we understand the importance of that love. The love that the Lord shows us, the love that the Lord can fill us with, to share that kind of love. Because we of ourselves cannot produce such love or display such love. But the Lord can do that because He loves us so much. All right, now go on over to Matthew chapter 24. Teachings of the last days that the Lord's giving to the disciples in Matthew chapter 24. Pick it up verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Prophesied about the destruction of that area, and it was totally fulfilled in the details. Tore down completely 70 years after he had told them this, it was accomplished. Given us that much more faith in his word as he continues. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privily, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. These things that he just spoke of, we are seeing fulfilled today. But they are going to increase. It's going to be more and more of these wars and rumors of wars. And the pestilences that we have seen. And the earthquakes that we have seen in divers, many different places. And it's going to continue and get worse right up to the very last days. In verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We're seeing this displayed today as well. Terrible increase in the destruction of Christians. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That waxing cold of love we clearly see on display in the world today, the pure hatred for people. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. For this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That will be fulfilled during the tribulation time, actually, when even the angels themselves will be spreading the gospel. Let's close there and pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for your word and for your love that you show us and display for us. Help us to all share that love as well. To go out of here and to truly love you with all of our existence and to love others and to show that to the world, to shine your light and to share your love. And thank you so much for giving us that opportunity to be a part of your work. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.